Every year on September 14th, the Church celebrates the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. The cross of Christ is something that is present in the life of Christ's followers and in the Church. The cross is a sign of Jesus Christ, a sign that reminds us of Him, and it should lead us to think about His life and His teaching. We see the cross or the crucifix in our churches above the high altar. We see the stations of the cross around every church in the world. People wear the crucifix as a necklace, and they also have a cross or a crucifix in their home, and they should. And we need to think of our Lord Jesus Christ often, because His life is what really matters. The very great mystery of His life, His teachings, His suffering, death, and resurrection are what is most important in our life's journey. And when we think of the Lord Jesus, we have to remember that He truly did die on a cross. He could have died any other way. He could have died of an accident. He could have died of old age. But He dies on a cross. The one who is innocent and without sin. He is rejected. He is trodden upon. He's threatened. He's lied about. He's dishonored. And ultimately, He's killed. People did not want to hear His words anymore. They wanted to do away with His presence in this world. And they led him to the cross. Now, the cross is something that is very bad. It's a sign of defeat. It's a sign of absolute torture and evil. It's one of the most torturous ways to die. Yet this feast on September 14th is referred to as the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. But that doesn't seem right. The cross seems to tell us that Jesus was defeated, that His goodness, that His truth, that His justice and His mercy were defeated by evil. The cross seems to be a sign of Christ's failure, the victory of evil over goodness. It's a sign of the victory of injustice over justice. But it remains what the Church teaches that it is. It's a sign of victory. We truly can rejoice in the cross of Jesus. It's a sign of the victory of Jesus over sin, over death, and over evil. It's a sign of the victory of His followers as well. And the cross is also a teaching that Jesus gives us. First, it's a sign of victory. It's a sign of Christ's victory. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. True God from true God. Light from light. He is consubstantial with the Father. He is God Himself. Jesus is not just someone who talks about God or is close to God. He brings God right into this world, right into our human history, right into our lives. He is one with His Father. Jesus worked miracles, manifesting that He has power over nature. He's got the same power that our Father has when He created everything out of nothing. Jesus raises the dead when He raised Lazarus. He commands the demons to be quiet and go away from people. He worked this powerful, amazing miracle of multiplying bread and fish to feed hungry people, thousands of people. He walked in the water, He calmed a storm, and He taught with authority about the kingdom of God. So Christ is all-powerful. He has the power of God within Him because He is consubstantial with the Father. And so when He is lifted high on the cross, we have to look deeply to understand what is really happening. See, on the surface, as we've said, it seems like it's a sign of defeat. Christ is now gone. It's as if justice has been defeated by injustice. You know, sometimes we look in the world and we feel almost a frustration at how evil seems to have the upper hand, that injustice seems to be stronger than justice, lies stronger than truth, evil stronger than goodness. That's what it seems on the surface when you're before the cross of Christ. But we have to remember, He is the Son of God. He's all-powerful. He is Lord. Even as He is crucified, Jesus Christ is Lord. He remains Lord. Nothing will take that away from Him. And He rises from the dead. When He rises, He proves that He is stronger than all of the evil that conspire to destroy Him. He's stronger than the lies of His enemies. He's stronger than the sinful alliances that were brought together to bring about the death of Jesus. He's stronger than death itself. He's stronger than the devil. And so, the wood of the cross is now a sign of victory. because it's the instrument that Jesus used to show us and the instrument by which he defeated evil. He shows us that he's stronger than all of the evil powers. The cross, which was originally always a sign of evil's triumph, now becomes a sign of Christ's triumph. Not simply the triumph of goodness over evil, but the triumph of Jesus Christ over evil. In Jesus, goodness triumphs over evil, and the cross now is that sign of victory because of him. It's also a sign of victory for the followers of Jesus. The greatest purpose in life, in fact, the greatest purpose for you right now, the most important mission you have, is to live in a way pleasing to God. That's what's most important. Jesus teaches us in the Our Father that we have to say to our Father, "Thy will be done." That's the mission we have, is to let the will of God be done in each of our lives, not our own will. You know, sometimes people feel that the number one priority is to have their own will done, but that never works. And as you get older, you realize that often you have to let go of your own will in order for better things to happen. Well, Jesus is teaching us that our number one priority is not our own will and not the will of others, but the will of our Heavenly Father. So, when the cross comes our way, when we experience suffering, we still have this purpose, is to live in a way pleasing to our Father. Our mission remains the same, to do the will of the Lord, to live a holy life, to follow Christ's teaching. When we suffer, we sometimes forget the Lord Jesus. We forget that suffering was his way, was the instrument, the path that he trod upon to bring about the victory of the resurrection. When we suffer, sometimes we lose our faith. We stop trusting in the Lord. And then we give up our purpose, which is to live in a way pleasing to God. We forget about letting go of our own will and doing our Father's will. And then we start seeking our own will and demanding everyone around us help us to achieve our will. When we suffer, we should look to the crucifix. There was once, even in our own time, a very holy religious sister who had done tremendous work for the evangelization of America and the world, and she had endured all sorts of persecutions from people even inside the church who should have been supporting her. And one time, in the midst of great suffering and sorrows and persecutions and troubles, she went into the chapel and knelt before Jesus Christ, truly present in the Eucharist, and she made a prayer something like, "Why me, Lord?" She had unloaded all of her troubles upon the Lord in prayer, and she said, "Why me, Lord?" And she heard interiorly the voice of Jesus say to her, "Yes, and why me?" And with that, she gave up her complaint and pressed on in serving Christ. That's a very great example for us. Christ suffered, and he gave us an example, St. Peter tells us, to have us follow in his footsteps. And so when we suffer, we have to look to Jesus. If we keep up our devotion to the Lord Jesus, then we have hope. Then we are not losing. Our life is not being derailed by our present hardship. We're on the path of victory. We're on the road of true and personal victory. It's the road of Christ. I think in life's journey, every one of us at some point has a moment of crisis, a moment when everything seems like it's falling apart. This could be a major crisis, or it could be the gathering together of many small crises. We feel overwhelmed, and it's almost as if nothing's going to work. I remember one time I had a time where back then I felt like it was a major crisis. You know, it's funny, when you get older, the crises you had when you were younger seem like they were easy. But I had what I felt was a major crisis. And in the face of this crisis, I could almost envision two roads were set before me. One road was take the easy way out. Run away from everything and all your responsibilities towards God and toward others, and just give up, lose hope, and then seek for the rest of your life to do your own will. That'd be the easy way out. At least that's the promise of the spirit of evil. The other road is the way of Christ, the way of the cross. The one road, the apparently easy path. The other road, the rough road, the royal road of the cross. St. Louis de Montfort has a great little book called Friends of the Cross, and there's a part where he talks about how the people of this world who aren't friends of the cross, they go on a path that's paved in gold and there's flowers everywhere and everything is wonderful, and they always talk about, you know, having good times and everything. And the other path is the road of the cross. On the golden path, it's easy. Everyone is thinking about their own will, and that's the majority of the people. And on the road of the cross, the road is dirty. It's very uncomfortable to walk upon. It's uphill. But you're following Jesus Christ. It's a way of penance and mortification and suffering. But you're following Jesus Christ. Well, I remember that crisis I had, and that was put before me. The easy road, or follow Christ, even when it doesn't seem to be the right thing to do, even when it doesn't seem to make things better. And it was as if I received a real grace from my Heavenly Father to go on this path to follow Christ. And so what I did was, even though I wanted to pray less, you know, when you're in a great crisis, you feel that prayer is a waste of time. Your number one thing is to solve the crisis or to run away from it. Well, I said, I'm going to pray more. I'll go to confession more, pray the rosary, go to adoration more. I will study the scriptures, the teachings of the saints and the Holy Father, John Paul II and Benedict at the time. And actually it was John Paul, he was the Pope at the time of this great crisis. And that was the path I chose. It's the way of the cross. It's kind of like a leap of faith, which, you know, we have these two roads before us constantly. Either, again, in great crises or little ones. The way of the cross is the way to go. I look back now, and if I had taken the easy way out, well, who knows what would have happened to me or to others, to many others, but I took this way of Christ. I said, you know what? This is the path to follow. And because of that, I rejoice. So many tremendous blessings have come into my life. And it was because I went the way of the cross. Well, what are these blessings? These are the blessings of the grace friendships that come to you. When you follow Jesus, His friends become your friends, and they are real friendships. And also the very great gift of a deeper faith in the Most Holy Trinity and Our Lady, who is daughter of the Father and mother of the Son, spouse of the Spirit. But if I hadn't followed the way of the cross, who knows what would have happened? And who knows what can happen to you if right now in your life you choose the easy way out and do all kinds of things that manifest that you don't care about God's will, that try to do things your way. It's not good. Go to the path of Jesus. He's merciful. You can always get back to that path if you're alive. Well, that's the lesson of the triumph of the cross. It's the way of victory. It really is. When we suffer, trust in Jesus more, not less. Pray to Him more, not less. You know, everybody wants to follow Jesus on the way of the resurrection, the way that brings prosperity into their life, so they say. Hardly anybody wants to follow Him on the way of the cross. But the way of the cross is the way that He went first. He doesn't just tell us, take up the cross. He does it first. That's what a good leader is. A good leader never asks his subjects to do what he himself won't do first. Jesus does it. He takes up the cross. That's the way we got to follow. And what will it be? What will it be? The easy path that leads to eternal loss, or the hard path that leads to Jesus Christ? This is the way to follow. And it's the way of true blessing. It's the way of victory. I'll put this out to you. When suffering comes your way, especially great suffering, it's as if Jesus is there and He's asking you, do you still trust Me? Will you still follow Me? Will you still be faithful to My teaching, even now as you suffer? That's the great test for us. And our answer has to be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I trust in you. And I will manifest my trust in you by following your word, by living the gospel right now. Even if you're at the point of absolute failure, you have to be a Christian. You have to live this. Yes to the Lord Jesus and the way of the cross towards victory. The other thing about the cross is it's a teaching to us about love. On the cross, Christ loves us to the end, showing us that he really does love us. He gives up his life. He lays down his life for us to save us from sin, from death, and from the devil. And this redemption is powerful. It's what the mystery of existence is all about. Redemption in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus shows us that he loves us, that he loves you. You know how people say, I love you this much, or I love you this much, or I love you from here to the moon? Well, Christ says, I love you this much. He's nailed to the cross, and he dies for you. He sheds his blood on the wood of the cross to save your soul, to lead you to communion with the Most Holy Trinity in this life and forever in the life to come. So Christ loves you. You have to believe that. Some people believe in God, but don't believe that God loves them. And I tell them, look at the crucifix. That's the sign that tells you that Jesus Christ, the Lord, his Father, and the Holy Spirit love you, that God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you. Don't forget that. Don't miss out on the message of this cross. Jesus Christ loves you. And then the cross teaches us that love is victorious. Love is victorious. The way of love that is lived out in marriage, in family life, among friends, and among all peoples is victorious over the way of hate and the way of fear. Love is victorious. Jesus is the manifestation of the love of our Father, and he's victorious over evil and over fear. And then the cross teaches us that true love equals sacrifice. Christ sacrifices himself to save us. I think sometimes today we can become selfish. Maybe not extremely selfish, but we tend to think, you know, I'm number one and I have to make sure my will is done. And this can happen in little ways. It can happen in our relationship to God. We don't pray. It can happen in our relationship to others. We think they're there to serve us. Well, Jesus teaches us on the cross that love is self-sacrifice. I sacrifice myself for others. This is the sacrifice lived out between husband and wife, in marriage, in fidelity, and in families among friends and all peoples. It's the sacrifice of forgiving others. You know, when you forgive someone, in a way you're giving up your will. Why? For love. For love. Love is victorious. That's what Jesus teaches us in his death and resurrection. Don't listen to the voice of the evil spirit, which tells us that the way of love must be rejected and we can throw love away. No. Jesus Christ teaches us the truth and we accept his word. Dear brothers and sisters, the cross of Christ is the way of victory and the way of life. We can celebrate the triumph of the Holy Cross, the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And we should let the cross of Christ, in a way, be engraved spiritually on our hearts. We are Christians. We follow our Master Jesus on the way of the cross toward the way of victory. May we always trust in him. May we accept his love by keeping his commandments and truly love others with self-sacrificial love. In this way, we will be on the path of victory, and we will share in the joy of Christ now and for all eternity in heaven. God bless you.